fixed mind, he offered the Lord prayers as written or approved by Vedic literature. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. It is said that when Brahma and the other demigods go to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Svetadvipa, they cannot directly see him, but their prayers are heard by the Lord, and the needful action is taken. This we have seen in many instances. The word Shruta Purvaya is significant. We get experience by directly seeing or by hearing. If it is not possible to see someone directly, we can hear about him from authentic sources. Sometimes people ask whether we can show them God. This is ludicrous. It is not necessary for one to see God before he can accept God. Our sensory perception is always incomplete. Therefore, even if we see God, we may not be able to understand him. When Krishna was on the earth, many, many people saw him, but could not understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Avajananti mam mudha manusham tanum ashritam. Even though the rascals and fools saw Krishna personally, they could not understand that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even upon seeing God personally, one who is unfortunate cannot understand him. Therefore, we have to hear about God, Krishna, from the authentic Vedic literature and from persons who understand the Vedic version properly. Even though Brahma had not seen the Supreme Personality of Godhead before, he was confident that the Lord was there in Svetadvipa. Thus, he took the opportunity to go there and offer prayers to the Lord. These prayers were not ordinary concocted prayers. Prayers must be approved by Vedic literature, as indicated in this verse by the words Daivi Bhir Girbhi. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we do not allow any song that has not been approved or sung by bona fide devotees. We cannot allow cinema songs to be sung in the temple. We generally sing two songs. One is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Adi Gaura Bhaktivrinda. This is bona fide. It is always mentioned in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and it is accepted by the Acharyas. The other, of course, is the Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We may also sing the songs of Narottam Das Thakur, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, and Lochan Das Thakur, but these two songs, Sri Krishna Chaitanya and the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, are sufficient to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although we cannot see him. Seeing the Lord is not as important as appreciating him from the authentic literature or the authentic statements of authorized persons. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pachayane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Prasthachare Sitaname Mukam Karati Vachalam Pangam Vangayate Girim Yatripa Tvam Maham Vande Shri Guru Vinodhanama Paramanandavandana Shri 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 Vanchakalpatarubhyascha kripasindhivyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. So there are a few points in this purport that are relevant. The whole purport is relevant, but there are a few specific points that I'd like to address that are relevant to our practice of Krishna consciousness. It says here that the demigods went to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Svetadvipa. Actually, they didn't just go there. It wasn't like someone, Indra, decided, okay, well, I'm going to go talk to Mahavishnu. But rather, they all approached Lord Brahma, and by his with his leadership, they went to see the Supreme Lord. The whole circumstance that we find ourselves in this portion of the Srimad Bhagavatam, was created by a breach of etiquette. Mother Nanda briefly described it the other day, that Dwarvasa Muni had given a garland to Indra, and in his arrogance, he disrespected. Is it possible to? Thank you. It's a little distracting. In his arrogance, he disrespected that garland, and as a result, many problems developed. And so now, in an attempt to rectify that deleterious situation, that situation that caused so much disturbance to the demigods, these very exalted, very powerful people are approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead for help. So they're approaching him in a mood of sakama. They are definitely not nishkam. They have a materialistic reason for going to God. They're in trouble. And so because they're demigods or pious by inclination, spiritually inclined, they are approaching the Supreme Personality of Godhead for help. Nanda also mentioned that the demoniac person, he thinks that he can do everything by himself. And actually that thought process has very, very deep ramifications. It's not just that, you know, they think that they have really good weapons or they think that they have, you know, strong arms or... But there's a core belief that we're not dependent on anybody. That the demoniac mentality is a mentality of independence that basically says, I can do what I want. If it feels good, do it. When I was young, we used to have that philosophy. If it feels good, do it. And the ramifications of doing it are not really looked at or examined very carefully. What's examined simply is the feeling good part, right? The future ramifications of behavior are not contemplated carefully. But in the divine mentality or the daiva, the godly mentality, there is another perspective. And the perspective is actually to look into the future, to make a plan to progress towards self-realization, even though that may not be in the forefront of one's consciousness at the moment of each individual behavior. The conglomerate of one's behavior is directed towards that higher goal. The entire Vedic literature is constructed in that way. Everybody from any stage of life, if they can maintain a mentality which of dependence on a higher authority, will find themselves gradually moved along until they come to a position of self-realization, aspiration for self-realization, and ultimately achievement of self-realization. This is the way the Vedic literature is constructed, something for everyone. Baladeva Vijayabhushan, in his Gita Bhushanam, he says that the Vedas are more merciful than thousands of parents, because a parent, no matter how fallen, no matter how unfortunate their child may be, the parent is always very merciful to the child. And he tries, Prabhupada gives the example that the loving mother may name the child Padmalochan, even though the child is blind, because they see with a vision that doesn't allow them to see defects, or at least doesn't allow them to focus on defects, and evokes merciful behavior despite defects. So the Vedas are like that. The Vedas have something for everyone, and depending on where you enter in to the Vedic process, you will be moved along. But the qualification is that one has to have this dependent mentality, that one seeks out an authority and follows that authority. And of course, it's contingent on finding the proper authority, because if one follows the wrong authority, then obviously you're going to go to the wrong place. So the Vedic literature provide us with proper direction and proper sadachar or behavior for achieving the ultimate goal of self-realization. So here, we in this story, we see first of all the result of improper behavior, which was exhibited by Indra. And that improper behavior we see occasionally, even in very godly people, right? Lord Brahma made an error. This is not the first time. Indra's made an error. And others have made error before, where they've underestimated the power, especially of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and or other saintly persons, even Durvasa Muni now, who is the cursor in this situation, but in other situations, he was the person who underestimated the power of the saintly person and offended Ambarish. And as a result of that, he was the one who was being chased by the Sudarshan Chakra. So we see many times that we have to behave very carefully. The Vedic literature is very specific, especially in how to relate to seniors. This is a very, very important point, that we have to be very careful how we relate to those that are more advanced than us. And there's this little problem that sometimes we don't know who's more advanced than us. So we have to behave properly towards all living entities, wherever they are. If we read in Nectar of Instruction that there are different proper ways to deal with each level of personality, and although they may not look the same overtly, the idea of respectful behavior is the same throughout all the different behaviors, or all the different ways of relating. So here we have now the demigods aware of their folly, trying to rectify the situation and seeking guidance from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, coming again in order, in the proper sadachar. They're going to Lord Brahma, and they're asking what to do. So at first, Lord Brahma was thinking what to do, and then realized that actually this problem is too big for me. I don't really know how to solve this problem, and then deciding to go to Svetadrip to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Arjuna found himself in a similar dilemma, that he also came to the point where he didn't know what to do. He was confused about duty. Due to materialistic thought processes, he found himself in a quandary. He didn't know how to proceed. And so because of his godly nature, he was able to humble himself before the Supreme Personality of Godhead and accept Krishna as his mentor, as his spiritual master. I'm confused about duty. I've lost all composure due to miserly weakness. And because of this, I'm going to get a higher education, another degree. And no, he decided that he would just surrender to Krishna. And in that way, he was given proper direction. And when he received that direction, he was able to follow it. He was very careful about following it. So this is the system that's established in the Vedic literature. And Prabhupada touches on this whole system as you go through this purport. Because here the demigods approach Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma approaches Krishna or Vishnu. And he approaches Krishna without arrogance, because you can see that even though he's not given the privilege to see him, sometimes we think we have to, you know, we have to knock on the door and someone has to let us in. And then when we see that person, we're going to tell them what we want. But in this situation, we see that just by knowing from the Vedic literature, just by having the wisdom that God is there and that he is a controller, he's in charge here. He's the where the buck stops, so to speak. Therefore, I can go to him and I approach him in the proper way. I speak to him with prayers that have been crafted by persons before me, that have been crafted and spoken in the Vedic literature, that allow me to express feelings of respect, feelings of gratitude, feelings of appreciation, deep realization of the greatness of the Supreme Lord and my very small, insignificant stature. So that's the mentality that's necessary to approach the Supreme Lord, that I have to go before him in that very humble mood, and I have to place my head at his feet and glorify in my heart, in my mind, with all sincerity, I have to glorify the Supreme Lord. And when I do that, when my attitude is sincere and humble, then the Lord listens. Then the Lord is willing to reciprocate. Now the prayers of the great devotees, they go also in a progression as according to one's spiritual advancement. We see here there's a very formal approach. It's a formal approach, and it's not free from material desire. The demigods, like I said before, they're Sakama. They're coming to Krishna saying, listen, we're in trouble, we need your help. They're not saying, listen, we want to surrender everything. I don't care if you take away everything, if you leave me with nothing, and I'll give up my kingdom, and whatever you want, just tell me what to do and I'll do it. That's not what they're saying. What they're saying is, listen, my kingdom is in danger. Our powers are in danger. The demons are becoming strong. We need some help here. We made a mess of things. Could you please make it better, Daddy? So when they approach the father in that way, then the father reciprocates because of their sincere, humble submission. But their sincere, humble submission is not the pinnacle of the Vaishnav attitude towards the Supreme Lord, which we aspire for. Now, if we follow the Vedas, getting to that position is a very arduous, very clearly defined, and very diligent process that takes quite some time. To get through that process more quickly, one needs to surrender earlier. And also one has to relinquish one's personal motivation. So therefore, we have to find a spiritual master. We have to find a bona fide spiritual master. We have to surrender to him with an attitude of complete submission. That attitude of complete submission is the ticket that allows us to actually hear the instruction of the spiritual master, let it enter our heart, purify our heart of material desire, and then allow us to have the qualification by which Krishna will reciprocate with our prayer. Depending on that, Krishna will reciprocate. So here the demigods are coming with desires. They see Krishna at least as God, with awe and reverence. And they come with their material desire. And not only that, but they offer prayers which have been approved. Now here at the end of this purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions that we, in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, we also have to be very careful what we pray. I had two experiences where devotees were praying, not knowing what they were praying, and as a result, they were praying to Hindi cinema stars, inadvertently, of course. But they didn't know that because they couldn't understand the purport of what they were singing. Once was at an Indian engagement in Orlando, where one very famous singer, female singer, came to do a bit of a benefit for the devotees. And she was singing at an arranged engagement at a doctor's home there. And towards the end of the, she was first singing bhajans, which we recognized, and then later on she was asked to sing. They asked her in Gujarati to please sing some bhajans or whatever. They asked her to sing some dune. But she wound up singing some Hindi cinema songs, and the devotees were playing kartals and mridangas to her singing, not really realizing what she was singing. But even sometimes the names, you know, are Radha and all these other things, but they're not talking about Krishna, the author. His desire wasn't pure. His motivation wasn't pure. He was talking about, you know, some famous movie star and some famous movie actor. And I saw an article just the other day. It was quite amazing, actually. I should send it out somewhere so you can see it. But it was in the Times of India, and it said Bollywood, India's Bollywood, where cinema is the altar, the actors are the gods, and I can't remember, there was a third part of that, but it doesn't get any better. So it doesn't really matter. But this is the modern concept that, you know, that the cinema. So it's funny how Prabhupada here in this Bhagavatam purport puts that we don't sing Hindi cinema songs. It's like, were we singing Hindi cinema songs? Well, maybe we weren't then, but now sometimes it does happen that we find ourselves singing Hindi cinema songs. So I told you there were two incidences. The second incident was actually right here, and there was some similar kind of singing going on, and Bhadra Prabhu came to me and he said, you know, they don't know what they're singing. He said, they're all singing these songs, but these songs are just Hindi cinema songs. So we have to be very, we have to be meticulous to follow Mahajanayena Katha Sapanta, not that we just follow anybody, right? The demigods, they went to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma went to Vishnu. It was a very clear line of authority. And if we just are indiscriminate in who we follow and who we emulate, we're going to wind up in a different place than we intend to go. So Srila Prabhupada is starting us off here with two very basic songs, the prayers to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shadvaita Gadadhar, Shivasadi Gaur, Bhaktivrindam, and the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So we might think that's pretty elementary. You know, we come and we have bhajan, we sing all kinds of different bhajan, we have different books available to us. But let's get these two down first, because these two open the door. They clean the heart, and they open the door for us to enter into the mood of the previous acharyas. The mood of the acharyas is what we need. We can sing songs, and that's very nice, and certainly it's purifying if they're the right songs written by the right people. But we get so much more benefit when we actually enter into the mood of the person who's writing these songs. These prayers are given to us as a means of approaching the Supreme Lord with similar feeling. We want to approach the Lord with similar feeling. And the feeling, the intention that we offer the prayers with is actually what God accepts from us. He could care less about the words. The words are insignificant if we offer them without any feeling, which might indicate that we need to know what we're chanting. Because if we chant dutifully every day, but we have no clue what we're saying, then we could wind up, again, in difficulty. How can we have the proper mood if we're not aware of what it is we're saying? Even the prayer we chant every day, like Prabhupada only mentions two here, but every day he told us to chant the samsara prayers. So if I asked how many people know what the meaning of the samsara prayers, all eight of them. It shouldn't be even called the samsara prayers, right? It's Guru Ashtaka. So how many of you know the meaning of Guru Ashtaka? How many of us think about that meaning when we chant the prayers to Srila Prabhupada every morning, to our spiritual master every morning? Even the fact that we, you know, colloquially we say samsara prayers, that means the prayers of rebirth. I don't think that's such a good idea. So we might want to consider a deeper understanding. And so many prayers that we sing, we need to dive into the meaning of those prayers, and we need to let them work on our heart. So Prabhupada recommends these two prayers first, so that we can clean the mirror of the heart and actually begin to reflect that Vaishnava attitude that allows us to pray sincerely. And then we can progress. Now this attitude of working on oneself so that one can progress by following the most simple instructions first is the attitude that allows us to really advance in devotional service on all levels, not just in prayer, but in every action that we do. We have a tendency, maybe because we're born in this country or in the West, maybe not just America, that we get impatient with process. We want to go to the head of the class. When I was a kid, we used to have a game, go to the head of the class. That was like 50 years ago. We were still going to the head of the class. Everybody wants to be number one. Prabhupada tells the story when he went to Dainapan, and he was sitting with one, like a bus boy, you know, at the meeting. He had a meeting with Dainapan publishers to get his books published. And when everyone left, there was this one boy, he was kind of cleaning up. And on everybody's seat, they had left one card, a business card. So Prabhupada asked this boy, what's the goal of your life? So he went around, he collected all the business cards, and he put them in a stack. Then he took his, and he put it on the top. That was the goal of his life, that his business card would be at the top. So this is the nature that we want to be on top. And generally, we don't like to wait. If the process is too slow, we get impatient, right? That's why we have microwave ovens and we don't want to use stoves anymore. Because we're impatient. We don't. Why do something in an hour if you can do it in a minute? And this is our mentality also. If it creeps into our spiritual life, then we try to progress faster than our adhikar, then we wind up in difficulty. So the necessity of purification and going through the previous acharyas properly before we go to the head of the class will allow us to really imbibe the learning and the mentality that's essential in order for this knowledge to bear the fruit that we want it to bear. It's a very difficult time, because what passes as knowledge is now available in the marketplace with just the click of a button or a few rupees in Lowy Bazaar now. You can buy the most esoteric, the deepest knowledge, but you really need to examine the adhikar before you go there, before you explore there. So here, this whole pastime, and specifically this purport, Srila Prabhupada is taking us systematically through the process of achieving that qualification to be able to understand the process of self-realization. It requires a humble, submissive willingness to follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas, to listen to their every instruction, and to carry it out, even if it may seem demeaning or confusing to us initially. If we have the proper connection, then we don't have to have any fear in allowing ourselves to submissively follow. This was what Arjuna found out, that by submissively following Krishna's instruction, he didn't have to have any fear. Queen Kunti, the Pandavas, they found the same thing, that even though it looked overtly confusing it many times and bewildering many times, still they were confident that by following Krishna's instructions, everything would work out fine. So we need to develop that mentality in our own devotional life, that we don't try to jump ahead and go faster than we're able. Because if we do that, then we will find ourselves in this situation. We're just like Indra did. He found he became a little bit contaminated by material desire. And we know that this is not the only time that he did that. He did that repeatedly. Does that repeatedly, perhaps, that he finds himself, he gets himself situated well, and then immediately that pride starts to infiltrate into the consciousness, and then immediately action starts to go beyond his qualification, and there's a problem there. There's a problem there. And then there's apology, and then there's rectification. But if we don't constantly work on cleaning the heart, then the stopgap measures, they don't really take away the disease. They only take away the external problem. The disease has to go away from internal practice, from sincere prayer, and from following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas with a mood that says, I really don't know what to do. I'm confused about duty, and therefore I'm surrendering to you. Please instruct me. With that mentality, then we can actually make the change of heart that actually allows our prayers to be heard and reciprocated with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So I'll stop there, and if there's any question, I can try to answer. Yes, Mother, hang on.
I was thinking in the very beginning that you were making some points about, oh, it's not the first time that Indra had made some mistakes. And all of a sudden I thought, maybe we forget how many mistakes these higher beings make, because we're so heavy with each other if somebody makes a mistake, and we're Kali Yuga devotees. I thought maybe it might speak something about mistakes and forgiveness of mistakes and moving forward. And
Srila Prabhupada told us to be hard on ourselves and soft on others. It's hard. It's much easier to be hard on others and soft on yourself. So so the attitude of mercy that we would like to receive when we make mistakes, which is frequently, at least for myself, it's 24/7 practically, then we have to offer that to others. And I think of that often, actually, that that if Indra, for example, or even Lord Brahma, for that matter, was a devotee in our movement, they probably wouldn't be a devotee in our movement, because they would have been excommunicated or whatever equivalent we have of that. Because we can be very, very hard. But There's different ways to look at that. Part of it is because we're neophyte, and in our neophyte, we want to protect ourselves. We thrive on rules and regulations, niyamagraha. That it kind of holds us up. We feel supported by very clear-cut rules and regulations. It's only by spiritual advancement that one learns how to apply those things in according to time, place, and circumstance, according to people, and how it plays out in the lives of people. Otherwise, we just tend to hang on to the letter of the law instead of really understanding the intent of the law. And then we quibble over the letter of the law endlessly, trying to figure out exactly how the letter should be written. So we have to, we really, again, it comes down to actually the process of purification, because one acquires mercy from humility. One acquires compassion from humility. So if you, humility, how do you get humility? Well, look in the mirror and do your analysis there. And generally, at least for myself, you can become really humble fast. The unfortunate fact is that as soon as you walk away from the mirror, instead of looking at yourself, you start looking at everybody else again, and then pride comes almost immediately. So the constant ability for introspection and willingness to examine one's heart and see what one needs to do internally allows one to develop the humility to have real compassion. Yes. Pran Govinda Prabhu. Nice to see you again after a long time.
I'm very happy to see you too. You have a very nice class. I really appreciate it. Just a little comment on the
appendix. Ingros. We get an appendix.
Sorry?
Now we get an appendix to the class. Go ahead. Appendix means like what you add on at the end of the book.
Narad Muni happened to walk by and he saw that Bali Maharaj was tied up with the pasta or rope. So he was crying. And then he asked, "Why are you crying? You surrendered to Vishnu. I thought surrender means the ultimate happiness. So why are you crying?" So he said, No, I'm not crying for my surrendering. I'm very happy that I surrendered. But I'm feeling sad that Indra came to the door, Vamandev came to the door, at the door of the Indra, and asked, "So, my brother, what do you want?" He said, "Get me back my kingdom." So I'm feeling very sad that the Lord, whole world is searching after Lord, lotus feet, and Lord comes to him, and he is not asking for Lord serving, but instead he's asking his kingdom. So I'm feeling very sad that what enjoyment he will get. So in the commentary, Prabhupada also said that Bali Maharaj is coming as the next Indra. But the difference between, Prabhupada gave that difference between Indra's kingdom and Bali Maharaj's kingdom, one who has surrendered, his enjoyment is so high, even Sukhdev Goswami translated that, Prabhupada translated Sukhdev Goswami's point that even one time Ravana came and Vamandev gave one kick to the toenail 80,000 miles far away. So Bali Maharaj's, his enjoyment is so protected, no worry, nothing, everything. And Indra always had a worry. So surrender part was the missing part. And I appreciate that surrender is so important.
Thank you.
I had just one question, because somebody may ask that here Prabhupada writes or translates that Lord Brahma did not have a darshan. So it will be the first darshan in Shatadvip here. Because Prabhupada also did write, he had a darshan of Vaikuntha, where he wrote the Brahma Sangita and others. So probably for only Shatadvip, this he never had a darshan. But this time he will have a darshan. He will come at the end.
Right. And actually, when I was reading this, I was thinking that also there's the point is that he has the faith, even though he's not having the darshan or he's not seeing Krishna, Vishnu at that moment, he has confidence that the prayer is being heard. You know, that Brahma is confident because he read about Vishnu and he read about the process. So he, by learning from the Vedas, he had the confidence to offer his prayer, know that there would be reciprocation, even though he wasn't seeing Vishnu.
This is very true. Otherwise, someone might ask, the Brikasura, he's a demon. He went all the way to Shatadvip also. Bhrigumuni, he went to kick Vishnu, he went to Shatadri. Lord Shiva also went there two times. And one time Lord Shiva, I think later on in this canto, the Lord Shiva went with the ghost.
Durvasa
to see the moon. Yes, Durvasa also went there. So it's not the, it's the conclusion will be like Srila Baladev Vidyavasan Thakur's commentary on this fourth chapter Bhagavad Gita, sixth verse, that how Krishna says, I am every millennium I come in my original form, but Atma Mayaya. Sambhavami Atma Mayaya. He says, by my internal potency. So the internal potency, who is a inconceivable, conceivable, conceivable, inconceivable, she makes that arrangement. The Brahma cannot go.
Actually, even here, Prabhupada mentions briefly that many people see Krishna, but they don't see Krishna. And we know that even Duryodhana saw the, you know, the universal form, and still didn't catch the divinity part. You know, he didn't connect it with the fact that here's this, even a supernatural being. He just thought it was a mystic potency. And everybody on the Battle of Kurukshetra had the opportunity to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they didn't see because Maya Jivani Kachchanam, you know, covered. Yes.
In the second canto is described how when the Lord appeared before Brahma and they shook hands.
Yes.
So is that like afterwards or?
I don't know. Kuti and I were trying to figure that out. I'm not exactly sure. Maybe Prangovinda knows when, because, but that was also, that was on this planet. So that was here.
This is all after. This
yeah, this is after, right.
Though, it's very interesting. Srila Prabhupada writes, I'm eternally indebted to him in that sense. That he writes very conflicting, like Barahadev case. He writes in the purport that Barahadev appeared in fourth Manu, but he said the fight took place, but he appeared in the Swayambhuva Manu's time, first Manu, which is million and million millennium before. But then he said perhaps somebody, some acharya commented, he was staying under the water until Hiranyaksha came and to fight. So every acharya giving accommodating. So it's not like, it's inconceivable. But Prabhupada gives that all this scenario, right, that how it could possible.
Yes, yes. Yes, Babu Prabhu.
The comment about singing only what's authorized reminded me of something. If we listen to the recorded kirtans that Prabhupada led, we have a couple of instances of Gurvashtakam, a couple of Govinda Jaya Jayas, of course Jai Radha Madhava regularly, but perhaps 85 to 90 some percent Hare Krishna Mahamantra, straight. And one of our god brothers, Gopavrinda Paul, commented at a Vyasa Puja festival a few years ago, that even among the followers of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, it seems that Srila Prabhupada had a unique faith in the Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
I was thinking that Prabhupada had a unique opportunity to see the power of the holy name work on living entities in some human form of life that no one else had the opportunity to see. You know, that when he came to America and he began seeing the task before him, he prayed to Krishna for the ability to make his words penetrate our heart. And he took such faith, or he had such faith, in the holy name and prasadam. Those two things, he really relied on them heavily to purify us enough to be able to move forward in spiritual life. And seeing the transformation that took place in a relatively very short period of time must have given him a unique sense of the power of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the power of that holy name. Because, you know, when you're in Vrindavan and everyone's chanting even the, you know, Hare Krishna or Jai Radhe or whatever, but they're already practicing basic human life, you know. They're already basically, they're Vaishnavas, you know. Everyone's walking around as Vaishnava, especially then when Prabhupada left Vrindavan. But what he came into and then saw how the holy name transformed he had a very, it's like working in the emergency room of a hospital. You get some real heavy realizations about birth and death. You know, unique, not everybody sees how that works. But when you're a doctor in the IR, you really get an intense experience of how, what the body, you know, how it can be destroyed and how you can, what your limitations. So I think Prabhupada had unique ability to understand the potency of the holy name from his experience. Oh yeah, I have a poem I wanted to read, thank you. Just, I'll end with this, yes? You have a question? Okay. Yeah, please.
The words here are Devi Bir Gibi, that the prayers that they offered were in accordance with the Vedic instructions. So this can lead to doubt. You were mentioning that the demigods are Sakama devotees. Mm-hmm. There's I think a few verses before, it's mentioned that Brahma was very concerned about the demons being very powerful, that they disturbed the situation in the universal affairs. Mm-hmm. So whether they were materially motivated or not, and if they were materially motivated, what kind of prayers that they're offering that are Vedic statements, that seems like that the Vedic statements are materially motivated?
Well, I addressed that actually in the class, that the Vedas have something for everyone. There are parts of the Vedas which do offer opportunity for Sakama persons, even not Sakama, even Karmakanda persons who aren't even approaching with any desire to achieve supreme realization. They just want material things, but they're doing it according to the Vedic literature, so they're following, and there are prayers to offer. You know, I didn't bring, actually, I had some, but I didn't bring them, but I got them, that, you know, where you just, basically you're just praying for money, but you're doing it according to Vedic injunction. And so, yes, the Vedas do have, that's why Narada Muni was so succinct with Vyasadeva. When Vyasadeva was sitting there miserable, what's wrong with, I just wrote the whole Vedas, but I'm miserable. Well, you know why that is because you wrote all these things and people may become confused that there are material things in here. There's ways to get money, ways to get beauty, ways to get wealth, ways to get fame, ways to get, you know, a good wife and better education and yada, yada, yada. And you can do it all through the Vedas. So yes, there are, if you look in the wrong place, yes.
Where in this chapter, mm-hmm. that the demigods went not only for their own desire, the sattva-gun has to be maintained. Sattva-gun is the existence, is the maintenance. Mm-hmm. The raja-gun is only create, but if it is creating not to go back home, mm-hmm. then it will destroy with the suffering.
Right.
So in order to re-establish the sattva-gun, the demigod
has to
be
They had an altruistic reason. They weren't just selfish. And they weren't just completely personally motivated. But still, in the Vedas, there are opportunities for offering prayers, even if you're a Sakama. Okay, so I'm going to just read this and then I'm going to end because it's getting late. This is a prayer. Now I sit me down in school where praying is against the rule, for this great nation under God finds mention of him very odd. If scripture now the class recites, it violates the Bill of Rights. And any time my head I bow becomes a federal matter now. Our hair can be purple, orange, or green. That's no offense. It's a freedom scene. The law is specific. The law is precise. It's prayers spoken aloud that are a serious vice. For praying in a public hall might offend someone with no faith at all. In silence alone we must meditate. God's name is prohibited by the state. We're allowed to curse and dress like freaks and pierce our noses, tongues, and cheeks. They've outlawed the Bhagavatam and the Bible. To quote the Shastra makes one liable. The student rep can be pregnant. We can have an adulterer for president. It's inappropriate to teach right from wrong. We're taught such judgments do not belong. We can get our condoms and birth control, listen to music with language so foul, but the Bhagavad Gita is not allowed. No word of God must reach this crowd. It's scary here, I must confess. When chaos reigns, the school's a mess. O Lord, this silent plea I make. Should I be shot? My soul, please take. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. All glory to Prabhupada. Not sure. It's adulterated. I mean, you know, it's been Krishnized. Can you have the garland? Sure.